On Friday, November 3rd, No Clear Cuts Kingston Incorporated hosted their Stop the Chop Party Till You Drop Gala at Grant Hall. No Clear Cuts Kingston Inc. has been working for 2 years to stop a local developer from clear-cutting 2,000 trees and filling in a provincially significant wetland on the former tannery site beside the Cataraqui River. The previous city council in September 2022 voted against the clear cut, but the developer appealed to the Ontario Land Tribunal. No Clear Cuts Kingston has party status at the Ontario Land Tribunal and is aiming to raise $50,000 to hire expert witnesses to defend council's vote there. The gala, which was part of their most recent fundraising efforts, was a massive success, raising thousands of dollars which will go towards their cause. I sat down with Kathleen O'Hara with No Clear Cuts Kingston Incorporated to chat about the gala and the overall mission of No Clear Cuts Kingston Incorporated.
My name is Kathleen O'Hara. I'm one of the five directors of No Clear Cuts Kingston Inc. We started off 2+ years ago as just No Clear Cuts Kingston, but now that we're going to go to the Ontario Land Tribunal, we had to incorporate. So now we're No Clear Cuts Kingston Inc., which sounds pretty pretentious, but that's it. So we started up about 2.5 years ago when we heard that a local developer, whose name I'm not allowed to mention now because we're up against him at the Ontario Land Tribunal, but anyway, he's fairly notorious around Kingston for building pretty slapdash buildings. Students have complained about his buildings, and now he wants to clear cut 37 acres just south of Bell Park and Bell Island. Mm-hmm. If people can picture that, it's a lot of people know where the River Mill restaurant is. If you go north along the Cataraqui River, you'll come to a chain link fence, and that's River Street, and the chain link fence is around the tannery site. That site has been sitting empty, except for nature and the odd homeless person, for 50 years. So the trees, the flora and fauna have just had a free reign, and they've grown and they've flourished. The developer has said that there is nothing there, that it's a silent spring, that it's a dead zone because it's so contaminated. But Professor Matt Rogalski of the Department of Music has taped the sounds of all the vibrant wildlife you can hear there, from frogs, birds, whatever. So it's a lovely potential forest reserve, nature reserve. We've been talking to a group called Phyto Action. They're at the University of Montreal. And they have said that nature heals itself, and it is healing itself on the tannery site. And we have to just continue with more human intervention. So you plant certain trees, you cut down certain other ones that might be unhealthy, and you help nature heal itself rather than just destroying nature entirely. Now, the developer wants to build 1,600, and after he clear cuts, he's going to pave over whatever areas he's not building on, and then he's going to build 1,650 unaffordable housing units. We think some condos, probably luxury condos along the river, and he's going to add commercial and 1,200 parking spaces. Now the city says, oh, this will be so green because people can walk into town. Well, with 1,200 parking spaces, I'm not sure how green it is. Mm-hmm. Also, if it's paved, how can trees grow there? His diagram of what he plans to do has trees around it, but you can't plant trees on concrete, on clay cover. So it's just going to be a treeless, probably substandard, probably overcrowded housing area, housing and commercial area, with, as the mayor says, up to 5,000 people. That is going to destroy the lovely areas of Bell Island and Bell Park, as well as obviously the 37 acres will just be wiped out. So we think that there are other places to build along Montreal Street. The city itself has indicated empty spaces, empty properties along Montreal. There's some on Division. We have 20 parking lots downtown. Other cities know how to develop on parking lots to include parking and housing. I hope that's a bit of a background for you.
No, that was great background. Thank you very much for getting into that. City Council voted against this a while ago, but the developer, of course, took it to the Ontario Land Tribunal. I was wondering if you could get into the specifics of that.
Yes. Well, it was the previous City Council. They voted 8-5. The mayor voted for the clear cut. He's very pro-development and very developer-friendly. So now the city has to fight the developer, whether the top city staff or not want to, because the city staff, the planning staff, were for the development. In fact, somebody came up to me recently and said, you know, it's very rare that a city council will vote against the recommendations of planning staff. But our city council, our previous city council, had the courage to look at the facts and say, no, we disagree with planning staff, and we also disagree with the mayor. So once that vote was on September 4th, a year ago, 22. So once that happened, the developer appealed to the Ontario Land Tribunal, which is his right. Although I think a lot of developers know that citizens groups just don't have the same amount of money and that it's going to be very difficult for them to go to take part in the Ontario Land Tribunal. So because City Council voted for against the clear cut, the city is now has to go to the Ontario Land Tribunal as our ally. In spite of the mayor and city staff, they are legally bound to go to the Land Tribunal and defend City Council's democratic vote. So we're hoping that the city will do that with all sincerity, because that is their responsibility. Anyway, what it means for us is that we have to raise at least $50,000, because when you go to the Ontario Land Tribunal, you have to have really good witnesses. Mm-hmm. So we're having to hire a land use planner, a hydrogeologist, an envirotoxicologist, all these people who can go up against the developer and his so-called experts. Now, the developer's experts have said things like, oh, we'll move the 100 turtles that have been counted along the shorefront. You can't move turtles. They've also said, we'll create another wetland, because this plan calls for, the developer's plan calls for paving over half of what has been designated as a provincially significant wetland. So we have to get the best expert witnesses we can. We were lucky because the Canadian Environmental Law Association, CELA, we applied to get a free lawyer, and we have one, Rick Lindgren, who has years of experience before it was first the Ontario Municipal Board, then it was the LPAT, don't ask me what that stood for, and now it's the Ontario Land Tribunal, and he's been working with all three. When we first applied to be what they call a party at the tribunal, along with the city, ordinary people were allowed to become participants. And Rick, as I said, who has been working since the 80s in this field, said he's never had a case where there were so many participants. So that shows how much local support we have. 100 people wrote in asking to be a participant and writing their submissions. They can't appear before the tribunal. We, our witnesses can, but their submissions will count as some kind of evidence. So he said in his many years, he hasn't seen that much participation. So we're very proud of Kingston, I must say. The developers, lawyers, tried to disqualify a lot of our participants. They said, oh, they spelled their names wrong, or they various excuses. And but the tribunal agreed that these people were totally valid, and so we've got quite a group behind us. So that's great. The hearing is at the end of January, so we've been fundraising and getting the witnesses together for more than a year.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for all that background. And speaking of your fundraising, you had the Stop the Chop Party Till You Drop Gala at Grant Hall Friday. Just to cut right to the chase, how much did you raise at the gala?
Well, we think we haven't actually counted it all. We've all been relaxing over the weekend.
Of course, well deserved.
Yeah, exactly. We think about 12,000.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, I know, in one night. So ticket sales were probably about 10,000, and then or 9 or 10, and then we had a silent auction. And again, Kingston was wonderful. We had Wooden Heads, the Black Dog Group, Something in the Water, Mango Tie, Verde, the Screening Room, Novel Idea. So many stores gave us gifts or Minotaur gifts or gift certificates. So we had a lot for people to bid on. We were supported by the by it, actually, we didn't come up with the idea. It was the Queen's backing action on the climate crisis and the Kingston Youth Climate Action Group. And so they came to us and said, we'd like to help you fundraise. And they suggested a semi-formal gala. So, and the Alma Mater Society, the sustainability group within the Alma Mater Society, was very helpful as well. And we've been working on it for quite a few weeks and months, actually. We started in the summer, and suddenly, I mean, there's so many things to deal with. I mean, not just pulling together the silent auction, but we got Spencer Evans and the Mourning Doves as our musicians. We had a wonderful young cellist playing out in the front hall as people arrived. I mean, we had to have coat check organized, and Ban Ree. I know I'm still exhausted. Ban Ree, the Ban Ree Center for Women, which is just down the street from Grant Hall, gave us their kitchen for the night. And so we were heating up food and chopping veggies and cheese, and the students were so wonderful. They laid out everything so artistically, and they were so hardworking. I can't thank them enough, or we can't. No Clear Cuts can't thank them enough. So we're on our way. I mean, for example, one quilt was donated, a lovely quilt by Darby Bailey. And we had the starting bid, I think, at 300, and it went for, well, the eventual donation to No Clear Cuts was 1500
Wow.
based on that quilt. Of course, it was the quilt maker's sister who did it, but still.
That's still, yeah, still $1,500 to No Clear Cuts. So that's amazing. Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, it was almost like a family event in many ways. But the other thing that was wonderful about Friday was that it was young people and old. I mean, people my age, and I'm older, and then all the students were just mingling together, and it was a lovely combination of young and old, as I said. The big thrill of the evening was when David Suzuki came on the big screen.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about that. That sounded super exciting.
Yes, it was. Well, I had his personal email because I worked for Elizabeth May of the Green Party. I'm not a Green Party member. I don't belong to any party. I just work for people I like. But, well, and that wouldn't be certain people, I must say. But I had his personal email. So I wrote to him and told him about the tannery and the clear cut. And he wrote back the next day and said, I'd be honored. So he spoke for probably about 10 minutes and did about 15 minutes of questions. And we'd had a person with a question mark walking around the audience or the guests and collecting questions from the guests. So it all worked out beautifully. And he was so passionate. And he really, I think, impressed people with the urgency of fighting the climate crisis and saving nature, saving trees, saving wildlife, our biodiversity, saving our wetlands, which, when I was growing up, they were considered swamps. And who cared about swamps? But now we know they clean the air, they foster biodiversity, they're very valuable, they prevent flooding, as do trees. So I think we're learning. I didn't know this about trees. Even after 2 years of fighting to save the forest, I just learned recently that the particulates that we had in our air at the beginning of the summer with the fires, the wildfires, trees will absorb those in their leaves, the particulates in their leaves and bark. So help clean the air that way. They're very, very useful to us, and we shouldn't be destroying them, especially so close to downtown.
Absolutely. Well, it's amazing to hear that so many different sectors of the community came together and made this night special. I was wondering, where can folks learn more and contribute to this cause if they're interested?
Well, they can go to, well, just to back up, we partnered with a group called the Small Change Fund, and they provide a service to small nonprofit groups across the country, and they'll do your bookkeeping for you, and then and keep track of all your donations, and they help pay our expenses out of our the funds raised. I don't know how we could have done it without them. They also give donors a tax receipt, so we are called, you can Google Small Change Fund, Stop the Chop, and go to our site on the Small Change Fund website, and people can donate there. You can also, if people want to get our monthly newsletter, they can go to No Clear Cuts 2023, No Clear Cuts 2023 at gmail.com. And we send out a pretty short, but I hope feisty newsletter, just keeping people up to date with what's going on. And I guess those are the two main ways to be involved. Or they, if you're a student, you can join QBAC or Queen's Backing Action on the Climate Crisis or Kingston Youth Climate Action. I think they're all feeling pretty upbeat after the success. A couple of them said it was one of the best experiences they'd ever had.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Yes, it was. It was. I think it's because when you work that hard on something, you have no idea whether it's going to be a success or a failure. And when it's a pretty major success, you just think, wow, it was worth it. And in fact, we're thinking of organizing another fundraiser because we enjoyed that one so much. And we'd actually already had a fundraiser. Frank Ryan, who's a local musician, and his now wife came to us and said, we'd like to organize a musical night fundraiser at Musiki. So we had that on October 5th, and it was equally successful. I mean, not in terms of money or crowds, but for what it was, it was very successful. So we're thinking of doing another smaller version like that. And in that case, we had Savannah Shea and Spencer Evans again, and Buck's Moonlight Revival and Frank Ryan. And at one point, the musicians were playing and they got a standing ovation. So I'm learning a lot about the musical scene in Kingston and how so many of them are just wonderful and care about the city and nature. Also, some wonderful artists donated their work. Margaret Hughes is quite well known in Kingston, and she donated a pastel and a watercolor, which both went fairly quickly on, at the silent auction. Bill Bosworth, who's a longtime musician around Kingston, donated his art, and it was lovely, and it went for a nice price. So people are just being wonderful, I have to say. It's very heartening. So I was just going to say, we hope that the city is sincere or works hard to help defend the vote, city council's vote, because we're hearing rumors that, you know, they, because the mayor and top staff are for the clear cut, there must be some things happening at City Hall that actually we find quite scary. So that's one reason I'm happy to be on this show, because we want to not let people know how successful we've been, but also some of the concerns we have, and tell people that they should keep an eye out for anything that is a little questionable about what's happening at City Hall.
Once again, that was Kathleen O'Hara with No Clear Cuts Kingston Incorporated. Be sure to keep up with NCK Inc. on the channels Kathleen mentioned, and keep an eye out for their upcoming events.